Welcome, everybody, to Overdunk, episode 31, a very special one, though. This is the EU regional. I'm calling it the hype show, but also the prep show or predictions show, whatever you want to call it. My name is Zoinks, and I am joined by three incredible guests today. Stepping away from our normal format where we just interview a single team, I got the brightest and best minds from EU to help me break down everything today. I have Chris Excellent and Zentense, or Faye. Welcome, everybody. I know everybody probably knows who all of you are already, especially if you're listening to this podcast. But just in case, let's do a quick round of intros, especially for the podcast listeners that can't see your faces right now. Chris, why don't you kick us off, say who you are, what people might know you from, and then, that's a good intro.
All right. Hey, I'm Chris Heroes. I pretty much stream every single day on Twitch, and I also started creating content for YouTube. And I used to play some tournaments in this game as well, but I kind of went like a casting route now, and I just, every tournament there is, I try to cast on my channel. Been getting recently into it, and I'm kind of new to it, and it's very fun learning it. But besides that, just creating content for this game as much as I can.
Mm-hmm. If you were like a caster or a player, and you want to learn like some of the best information about the game told in a very fantastic way, make sure you go to Chris's stream. It is a banger. I'm in there all the time.
Thank you.
Excellent. How about you? Same intro.
I'm Excellent. I am the current coach for Blackhand, previous pro player. Used to play around the same time that Chris did, and I kind of took a step back with the region lock, and I've just been approaching the game in a different way and, you know, trying to do our best for regionals coming up.
Abandoned EU to go to NA. We win again.
Abandoned my sleep schedule.
Yes, yeah, that is true a little bit. All right, Faye, how about you finish off our round of introductions?
All right, hello. Chris, I stream just about every day, and albeit to a slightly smaller amount of people. However, I have some very lovely people in my stream most days, and I play this game competitively as well. I have been attending Worlds a few times this year in the qualifiers and stuff. Awesome. With a couple of different teams, and much like Mike, my sleep schedule doesn't quite exist. And
yeah, you're also on that weird one.
Yeah, I'm one of those people that people think is actually from NA until they realize I'm Swedish.
That's funny.
It's like, yeah, like a lot of people think I'm from NA, but no.
Gotcha. Oh, so, that's another question. I should have asked countries for each of you, but we'll, because that's interesting.
Right. How that's true.
Yeah, that is true. Okay, so Zent, you are Swedish. Excellent. Where are you residing at the moment?
I'm Danish.
Danish. Okay, awesome. And then Chris, how about you?
I'm German. German. But I always get asked all the time, actually, what my accent is from. So,
that's funny. Okay, awesome. We got a widespread. I am Canadian, but I'm living in the States. So, I also converted to the States, I suppose. But welcome, everybody, here. Zen, I know you. That was a very fantastic introduction, but you forgot to mention that you're one of the best swords in the entire world. So, make sure that that
I like
is we got to make sure that that is also included in there. But
yeah. I may not have a camera today, but the lovely Domani has made my profile picture that I'm very happy with.
Oh, it is so good.
A sword and a teacup.
Yes, the artists of the Unite scene are actually kind of insanely good. I think our scene has been pretty blessed to have some of these fantastic artists. We have Domani, of course, Black CH, Art Falania. Like there is a myriad of sick artists out there. So if you're looking for good emotes, you don't have to look far in the United scene. But today we are here to talk all things EU regional. So obviously, if you've been living under a rock, right now we are at the very end of this Road to World style tournament, the Unite Championship Series. We've had, I think this will be our fifth and final tournament of the entire series. Teams have been earning points, and all of those points are now coming to a head where they are played for seeding, and now this regionals tournament has the biggest prize pool on the line so far. I think 50,000 in both EU and NA, and also the biggest prize of two teams get the seed to Worlds. So there is a lot to talk about for these teams. And just one more note about this tournament, it's a return to the format of EOS. So another two-day tournament, whereas day one will be group play as well as some bracket games. And then day two will be, I believe, just the top eight bracket for both regions. So interesting format, definitely a shakeup from the normal May finals or anything like that, but more money, we got to make sure we get the best teams on the line. But yeah, it's going to be a really exciting one. We have a lot to talk about though, and one of the first topic points we have when it comes to EU, I think it has to be the big, the bad, the random gaming. The dominance that they have had on this scene for the last few months have been crazy, to the point where people are no longer asking if they're just the best team in EU, they're asking if they are the best team in the entire world. And I want to pose that question. Chris, do you think that random gaming is potentially the best team in the entire world right now?
I mean, that's for sure Chancefort, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they just look so dominant. And the best thing about random gaming is they're the ones that create metas, right? Yeah. They're the ones that always have, like, they can play so many team comps. All their players are pretty flexible when it comes to their Pokemon roster. And they always come up with new things. I mean, we just saw the creation of the Sylveon half-semi-jungling early game just went meta into different regions. And it's dominating everywhere now after they created it. So they always come up with new things. Also with score comp, of course, they played score comp, but they also played normal things when score comp was around. Right. So they just play everything, right? They can just adjust. They can make their own metas. And they know how to counter their own comp as well, right? If they played against their own comp, they still win anyways. They just put out the Greedent and just play completely different. And they still win anyways. So yeah, it's just dominant.
It's true. Excellent. How about you? What do you think is the greatest strength of random gaming? Like, what has sent them this far ahead?
Obviously, a lot of the things that Chris pointed out. Sure. The flexibility and all of the ability to, like, change how they see that the game should be played. One of the things that I was watching yesterday in their tournament is the fact that they have kind of invented the fact that they're using the Sylveon in this specific way. And when enemy teams are deciding to use the Sylveon, like, for example, bottom or something, or because bot lane doesn't matter as much in this current meta, they instead bring out the Greedent and then completely four-man bot lane against a trio lane that isn't going to be able to do as much back to it. And they score on all of the characters free, like stuff like that, but they're completely able to break apart stuff that they have actually like put forward in the first places. Like just one step ahead.
Yes. So composition, it really seems to be like what's setting this team apart. Faye, how about you? Do you honestly think that Random Gaming is the best team in the world right now?
Well, to tie things back to Unite for Ukraine, I ended up first picking Gatlu.
Right, of course.
And two more random gaming members when we were going up against the best players in the entire world for a reason. They are highly adaptable, just like Chris and Mike said. And also their flexibility in-game. When you get to that 3-minute, 2-minute mark, they are some of the people who are the best at improvising.
Yeah.
The end stages of the game. They don't follow a strict path the way a lot of teams do, where when they get to the end stages of a game, they will find ways to get those 10 points in, those 50 points in, whatever they need to get the win out at the zero. When the buzzer hits, they are ahead. Because they know how to get there. It might look like organized chaos to some, but there is like a plan that's set in motion prior, essentially. And the ability to do that with the flexibility of their players makes them highly adaptable to like any metas that can get thrown at them. Whereas other teams might take longer to adapt to a certain balance patch, they will find their own way.
Yeah. Random gaming, they are versatile, like all of you have mentioned, so much to the point where they are a cyclical team where they'll create something new, but almost as a bait. They're creating the virus that destroys the computer, but they're also selling you the antivirus at the same time to profit off of both ends. It seems like what they're so strong at, but it doesn't even stop there. I mean, mechanical skill is also abundant on this team. It's not like they're just, you know, out-strategizing their opponents. Sometimes they're even just out-diffing them on the sticks. So they definitely have so much strength, but that begs the question when we're headed into a big tournament like this, is anyone capable of defeating Random Gaming? Question to the crowd, does anyone think that they will take a game loss in this entire tournament?
Game loss? Yes, I think definitely somebody can bring something out. We saw Tilted Gaming taking Random Gaming to a bracket reset yesterday. That said, Gadlo was in Gengar, one of the games. I know
Yeah, that
that.
was a big mention here.
But
He did it for
and
me, I'm
also,
pretty sure.
yeah, we've seen Apprentice also take games off of them. It's gonna be
Who weren't
interesting
there? That's yeah.
to see if somebody will be able to eventually like take a full set off of them, which
Yeah.
is very rare. But a game, absolutely, I think that will happen.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. I guess yeah, I was thinking more of a set to see if we find random gaming in the losers bracket, which kind of at the start of the UCS seemed to be the story of their team. Like they would lose a really early round in a weird way, and then they would just make their way all the way back to the grand finals. It's just what they do. But yeah, so you are thinking that they are capable of taking a game loss, but still obviously a tournament favorite in your opinion. Excellent. Chris, are you the same way,
Absolutely.
or do you have even more confidence in this random gaming squad?
No, I have a lot of confidence in them, especially like after they picked up Bruff as well. I
Yeah,
mean, Bruff
that's
has been one of the best
ridiculous.
defender players in Europe for quite a while. They literally upgraded another position as well after they're just destroying Europe as well. Of course, feels bad for Chroma, but we can't deny that Bruff was just like an insane upgrade for the roster as well.
Absolutely.
And honestly, I personally thought that after the score meter was gone, that Random Gaming would actually fall off, but it was actually the opposite. They even did better, I feel like, after the score meter was done. So I was very impressed by that. And I think as long as Gutlu just does the way he does, like the way he plays and stuff, like whenever I watch their comms as well, like he talks so much. He just
Yes.
talks the entire time and try to coordinate everything around, and it's very impressive. So as long as they're on form and they don't have like a bad day, I don't think there's anything that can beat them. But who knows, maybe someone has a stretch, especially against them, right? The team is probably practicing a lot right now, maybe different team comps, and maybe there's someone that had figured out maybe there's a way of beating Random Gaming with this exact team comp. Or they're just
Sure.
better at flipping Zapdos as well. Who knows? I mean, it can always happen, right? You can always lose to Zapdos in this game.
That is
Doesn't matter
true.
what.
Someone made a good point in chat. It is a 10-minute MOBA with Zapdos.
Yes.
Anyone can lose at any point.
Pretty much.
Yep, that is true. But you, what's so funny about that, Chris? You were mentioning maybe someone finds a strategy to beat them. Maybe they put it out. But this format actually helps them even more because now you're in the situation where, I mean, they have group stage, first off. They're allowed to drop a game or two if they want to, and they don't even end up in the loser's side of the bracket to start things off. They'll just head back to the bracket as long as they win the majority of their other games, and then all of a sudden that intel is out there. Their download is complete on how to beat that composition already. So I really do think group stage is going to mean if you want to take down one of the best teams in the world, you're going to need to do it multiple times throughout the tournament,
Yeah.
and it's going to be even
For sure.
tougher to pull off. So that's absolutely crazy. Zent, how about you? Do you know of the kryptonite to take down Random Gaming? Do you think there is a possibility, and are teams specifically trying to do so?
I mean, obviously, people are going to specifically try to take Random Gaming down, right? They are the team to beat most of the time. If you see them in your bracket, like you know it's going to be a tough road. People will prepare for them specifically, much like the way NA used to prepare against like GG,
Yeah,
for example,
for sure.
right? Like people will try to pay close attention to them, and they will have a harder time thanks to it, right? Random
Yeah.
Gaming will have a harder time than if they were just one of the top four teams, for example. I do, however, think that there are teams that can contend with them, right?
Absolutely.
Like Unleashed, for example, right?
Yeah, Unleashed are my
Amazing
boys,
team.
obviously. If you've listened to this show before, you know I am the most unbiased when it comes to that team. I love cheering on Apprentice Unleashed for sure. But yeah, there definitely is some other teams. Chris, I cut you off. I'm
But I
sorry.
kind of want to agree with this point a tiny bit though, because I think all these teams, their main focus on not killing is not destroying Random Gaming or beating Random Gaming. Their goal is getting top two and making it to Worlds, right?
Sure.
So they have to beat everything else by Random Gaming, and they're going to make it to the World Championship.
There
So I'm
you
not even quite
go.
sure if the focus is on Random Gaming, right? As long as Random Gaming sweeps through the winner bracket, you're like, as long as I get second place, I go to World Championship. That's the goal of all the teams, right? I don't think most of the teams care about winning this entire tournament. Their main goal is getting top two and
Yeah.
getting to the World Championship. So they don't really necessarily have to prepare for them as well. They're going like, oh, Random Gaming, we're going to lose anyways. Just try to beat every other team.
That is
Try to
true.
prepare for Unleashed, 5i, who has been also one of the contenders now, and just make sure they win against those teams.
Yes. Oh yeah, that is a really good point. However, I think on day two, when you find yourself in your bracket, you take a look over at the template and you see the prize money that says if I win this next game, I literally double it. I think the players' minds might start to change a little bit. But we definitely are going to have to talk about some of these other teams when we head into our power rankings segment a little bit in the future. But before that, I want to just talk about a couple more storylines before we jump into our first big segment. Excellent. Why don't you start this one off? You're a coach. You've been following this game closely. You got the numbers and math up in your head. Talk to me about meta in EU and what the compositions are looking like within this region.
So there's definitely, it's interesting. It's a little hard to say exactly what people will bring out in the regionals, because everything that people are showing now and that they've been showing in May is not going to be reflecting of exactly what they're bringing out. People are trying to hide their strats. People are kind of trying to come out with whatever on their day that they can be successful with on that day. So everything is a little bit misleading. Okay. Now, that said, obviously people want to win the tournament and stuff, so people are pulling off somewhat of what they're like bringing. We're still seeing the Blastoise, and we're still seeing Dragonite, we're seeing Greedent. It's a little bit less. Serena has been absolutely popping off too. We saw Tilda Gaming actually take Grandom Gaming to the bracket reset with the Serena jungle yesterday. And it's probably going to be a big factor for going into the regionals. What we generally see as a meta, like a crested globe, is also that bot lane has had way less influence, in the sense that Blissey has so much survivability and can completely get access to any secure that it wants to go for, especially with XP. And therefore, the map is completely opened up for supports and attackers to go do other things, meaning we'll often see the possibility of an attacker holding top lane or otherwise, or invading with the Hooper jungle, so we can have these double invade situations. And that means that less junglers has the possibility of hitting level 9, and therefore this meta of creating triple level 7 has been developed. So you're going for 3 solid level 7s instead of having a unite move for the first Dreadnought.
Yeah, definitely. The triple 7 seems to be, I'm going to call it the slot machine comp. It definitely seems like what everybody is pushing for. Chris, I got to ask, because it was just funny to me when I was trying to watch, like A-Drive was doing the spectating for us yesterday, but I imagine you were doing all the in-game spectating while you were casting and stuff. This double jungle invade on both sides must just be such a pain. Such a pain to try to cast and spectate.
Every time I see Hooper and just get away with the hyperspace ported place, that is like, it's not even difficult, right? Just put a hyperspace somewhere, someone gets to safety. And it reminds me of a character in my old game as well that was just so painful to play against, because it really feels like you just don't get punished. You can't punish anyone. It's just so much safety, so much survivability just out of just a basic move. And yeah, these jungle invades, I mean, they get away with it. Nothing you can do about it. Either Hooper's going to steal your buff or get away. So, and has XP shown, so losing experience. The Blissey's on bot lane are fighting each other anyways for the last hits there. So who cares if Hooper's there or not? And yeah, just seeing that perma jungle invades on both sides is just... I mean, it's good, I think, jungles are being invaded, but the fact that Hooper just gets away with it is just...
It's ridiculous. I called it the get out of jail free card, the Monopoly reference of it. It is absurdly powerful because, again, honestly, I think one of the factors is how large that hyperspace hole is. Like, if it was a really small hole, then you could push them out of it. But right now, you're only a vertical CC. Anyway, I could go on a rant about Hoopa and how strong they are forever. but Zen, talk to me about this meta. Do you agree with Excellent? Do you think that teams have been kind of pulling their strategies a little bit from these last couple of recent tournaments, and that we're going to see something brand new when it comes to regionals?
Yes, okay. I do think so. I think that a large part of the whole bot lane doesn't really matter that much is a part of the relative strength of the Pokemon that actually go in the attacker slot relative to the strength of the Pokemon that go in the other slots. Like, you have Hoopa for support, you have Blissey for defender, you have Lucca and other things in top lane, right? You have junglers, you have Dragonite, you have Cinder, you have Serena, you have Aegislash. And if you compare their relative strengths to the current Pokemon in the attacker slot, you have you have Pikachu, you have Venusaur, you have Decidueye.
Absol?
I was getting there, right? There's a reason Absol is showing up, right? Because there isn't really an attacker right now available in the current tournaments and metagame that has strength relative to the other Pokemon. that are picked. Like, there isn't an attacker that's on par with what a Lucca can do.
Right.
In top lane.
Oh, yeah. Definitely not.
Right. So this meta shift where you do things like jungle split with Sylveon, or you go for 777, really valuable strategy, especially for Pokemon like Tsarina, where you only really need level 6.
Yeah.
Right? And seeing unconventional attackers where you only have Blissey left in bottom and the rest of the map just looks like complete anarchy.
Yeah.
Is definitely something everyone has to prepare for and get used to before any like tournament takes place, because if you show up on the actual regional, say, and you're not ready for enemies to run Serena attacker or straight up invades, it's actually kind of interesting to see that we haven't seen as many Greedents as we have.
Yeah. Well, in NA for sure. I feel like EU still, we see the Greedent populated.
There's still a fair Greedent population, but I'm almost curious that there isn't more.
Yeah, that's true. I that is an interesting question. Why we don't see it more? Like, is it a comfortability thing? Like, are these top laners like not as comfortable with that Pokemon? It is a different playstyle than a Machamp or a Lucario or even a Serena.
Oh, I mean in bottom lane.
Oh, actually. In bottom. Okay.
In bottom lane, yeah.
Okay.
Because the attackers, like I said, they aren't that impactful at the end of the game. Like, just like Mike said, the bot lane is kind of irrelevant, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Compared to the other lanes right now. And a lot of that has to do with the fact that there is a lack of, like, an attacker with strength relative to the other lanes.
Yeah, that can take over, right? Like, an attacker that can absolutely handle an endgame.
Yeah, they're so weak right now.
I think the only example we've seen is Alolan Ninetales. I would love to see that.
Pikachu doesn't become strong anymore. Their ability to bully is completely nullified by the Blissey, and therefore things that scale like the Venusaur, the Decidueye see more play, or things that leave the lane like Absol and Greedent become good attackers.
Exactly. Yeah, I think Venusaur is the one, but I think one of the only ways to play Venusaur right now is how GG was doing it yesterday, where like the jungler gets first rotation and then everything after that is for Venusaur. Like, you need that Pokemon unlocked as soon as possible if you're running a composition like that. But okay, interesting. So EU meta a little wild. Random Gaming has definitely set the fence post for it a little bit. Every other team is trying to catch up to that, but we have a lot to expect. Teams have been in the lab for quite some time, so it is going to be interesting. The other questions I had in storylines and stuff like that will honestly probably be answered in the next couple of segments, so I think we are going to jump over to that. So let us move on to our power rankings time. So we as a group are going to collectively power rank the top 5 teams in EU. Now, if no one's ever seen a segment like this or anything like that before, this is not exactly our predictions for the tournament, how it's going to end up. It could be a part of that. But this is honestly where we think the top 5 teams in the game are at in terms of relative strength. How strong are these teams? Individual mashups and things might shake up these rankings. However, this is where just general power level we're at. And I think I can pretty easily type in this first word in Random Gaming. I don't know if anyone...
Oh, Onyx, that's crazy.
Yeah, it's true. Does anyone have any counter argument for Random Gaming going first place? No? Okay, great. We'll move along then. So let's talk about the rest of the rankings. Number 2 in EU in terms of power rankings. I feel like there's a pretty clear front runner, but I want to hear from the rest of you any shouts for who you think who you think number 2 in EU should be in our power rankings.
Well, I say that I believe Apprentice Unleashed should be taking the second spot. They've consistently shown that they are able to get to the grand finals in the official tournaments, showing up in both AOS and May finals. Yes. They have been a team for a very long time. They've shown their ability to also play flexible and innovatively. And I think they will have a solid answer against every team that isn't on their level. Like, being able to go to Worlds, whether or not they can beat Random, is definitely within their grasp.
Okay, so yeah, that's honestly the question that we're answering right now by putting this team in the second spot. You have to remember, Chris mentioned at the start of the show, the top two seeds get to go to Worlds. So that is really one of the main competitions that we're seeing, which is going to make the winner's finals match, like, so exciting in terms of EU, because that's literally a Worlds qualification game. Going to be an awesome match to watch. So make sure you're tuning into the officials or tuning into Chris, who I guarantee will be casting them. it's going to be fun. Okay. Anyone else want to throw up another team instead of Apprentice Unleashed for the second spot, because that is also my vote.
Yeah, no, I also agree. Even though I think Unleashed, I mean, I think there's just a huge gap between the first and the other teams, because like Granum Gaming just wins almost everything, and then Unleashed and the other teams always like drop maps sometimes against absolutely teams you would never expect them to lose a game against, and it actually happens more often than I would like it to see. So but Unleashed is the second, I would say, as well. They lose still the least amount of games against, you know, teams that they shouldn't lose games against, I would say.
That is my favorite. That is my favorite qualification. I love that.
I mean, it's kind of how it is.
That's true.
I actually have one more thing for Apprentice Unleashed here in second slot, cool. And that is Tsarena, right? Mm-hmm. When you think of Tsarena in EU, you can't avoid Klaus, right?
Yes. Klaus is crazy. Yes.
Klaus's Tsarena is insane. Mm-hmm. And he showed that. He brought it to the qualifier or the final, I can't remember, the other month. And absolutely dominated. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of before it really started picking up pace, like recently. Tsarena right now is crazy. And
that's true.
Klaus is definitely one of the top Tsarenas out there.
Yeah, I completely agree. I love watching, honestly, I love watching Klaus play in general. In my mind, he is the most aggressive, like, top laner in EU. Potentially Dravix, I guess, on that Machamp. But when it comes to me, they're like the typical playmaker top laner. Like, they will take huge risks to actually, you know, get big payoff. And those are always so, so exciting to work. You have to have a good team behind you to make those kind of risks actually pay off. But I think they are definitely capable of doing so. But
Sante was the one who played Tsarena in the actual qualifier.
I see.
I got those mixed up. But yeah, I've seen Klaus on Tsarena. It is scary.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. Let's jump into our number three. This is where I think things start getting a little bit tougher to actually decide who gets the rest of these power ranking slots. Zen, I went to you last there, so why don't I go for you first here? Who do you think should fill out our number three slot?
All right, this one is a bit trickier. I feel like the first two have, like you were saying, Random Gaming is, you and Chris kind of agree that Random Gaming is far above the other, like, four teams on this list.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Apprentice is a bit closer to Random Gaming than the other teams are.
Right.
Probably.
It's a more positive look than Chris's, for sure.
Yeah.
they mess up the least. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that it's more like the top two teams and the other three a bit more so than just Random Gaming alone. But for the third one, it's hard. Like 5i has a super solid, consistent, like, track schedule, kind of.
Yeah,
you know, and I think that they're not unlikely to take this top three.
Okay, interesting. They're kind of peaking at the right time too, right? Like 5i at the start of this season, definitely were not making nearly as much impact as they were on the tournament scene up until the final half of UCS, I feel like. Mm-hmm. And they really picked up a lot of steam. Super fun team to watch. Excellent. How about you? Do you think that 5i should round out this third spot, or do you have another option?
Now, I want to mention I'm not as familiar with 5i as I am with any of these other teams that I would have in mind. And I have been seeing the track record of 5i and what they've been pulling out lately. They're definitely showing up. And I'm only seeing the fact that they could probably keep that going to the point where they'll keep going up. I think that the main difficulty here is, and I was actually going to put PogChamp. Sayu is an absolute demon in the top lane.
Stupid
There's
dude.
Been a few Lucario nerfs lately, but obviously they have been like adjusting to that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm curious to see if they can bring it back, and if I would say something else, I'd say PogChamp.
Okay, that's an interesting question. PogChamp, a really, really solid team, has ended up being a little more inconsistent, I think, than all of us imagined as of recent months. So they definitely, they've made a roster change a little bit as well. I think they added 60 to their squad recently. But they have had not the best tournament results in the past couple weeks. Is that concerning at all, Chris? Let me know. Is that concerning for PogChamp?
Maybe a tiny bit for sure.
Okay.
I feel like the problem with PogChamp is they feel like they just play one style.
Okay. Yeah.
And that's about it. Like, they want Yoshi to carry. Yoshi's the main carry.
Mm-hmm.
Very mechanically skilled player. And they pretty much, I feel like they always put their entire baskets into him and Sayu, right? Sayu gets all the resources. He gets all the resources. And, but I think that just lacks, like, flexibility into certain team comps as well.
Okay.
And sometimes I feel like they get stuck in the same team comp where it just, they just keep throwing the head against the same wall and just hope at some point it breaks it, and it just doesn't happen. I'm still not a big fan. I had the Razor Leaf Decidroy. I would really like to see Yoshi play some Spirit Checker.
The Razor Leaf Decidroy. I don't know why.
It was yesterday the tournament, right? Yesterday was a tournament, the 2000 Start League GG tournament, and it was again another Razor Leaf Decidroy as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it just doesn't impress me. And as well, they were playing with the Blissey, so I expected maybe a helping hand safeguard, but then it was actually still a double egg bit with the Decidueye, and she just gets ran over in every teamfight.
Okay.
Like half the time, they did win one game, but he got smacked around the entire game, and then he had like one Unite move in the late game teamfight where Blissey was actually able to keep him alive, and they won the game. But it's just like, it just doesn't seem to be going anywhere, really.
Okay.
Of course, it can have like insane damage numbers, it can shred objectives very fast. But I feel like in this meta, it's very difficult right now. There's so many Pokemon that just run you down, right? All these Rounder speedsters.
Mm-hmm.
It's quite difficult. So for me, I think third would also play 5i in third spot for now.
Okay.
Because they've been very consistent in the last three or four tournaments. They got third place pretty consistently beating out, you know, the other contesters for the spot. And I think third spot is very, very close. So I think pretty much any team, any of like, you know, Yerman, PogChamp, 5i can be on the spot, and it's quite difficult.
I'd even 5i just
has looked better, right?
Pool.
So just looking at the results, 5i has had the best results out of these teams.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. The consistency is something that we have to value. Out of that pool that you just mentioned, I think I would throw Zephyr Red into that basket as well. I think they are also peaking at the right time in terms of this entire season. I think they've been picking up a lot of steam in recent. I mean, they are technically second or they're third seed in terms of points overall outside of the top four in May Finals. So they have been doing well in that way. Excellent. Were you going to mention something about that last slot?
That last slot? The third slot? Well, if I were bringing it back to PogChamp, I think it's going to come down to whether or not they have been hiding some of their stats and continuing with what has been previously the meta,
mm-hmm.
or if they are believing in what they have been previously doing and will continue with that. I think the ADC type jungle meta with a bully bot laner isn't going to work in the long run for the regionals. I'm curious to see if they'll be picking up strats that are more similar to other teams, because I think they have the skill to do so.
Okay, got it. All right, well, I think realistically we have two more slots on this power rankings list, and we have Yermans and we have PogChamp to place in here. DZ and Zephyr Red, two other teams. Tilted Gaming on a little bit of a hot streak yesterday, so definitely showcasing some. I don't know if I'd have enough confidence to put them within the top five power rankings with just a tournament performance like that. But either way, we have a couple of slots to fill out. Zent, if you were to place one of those three teams I just mentioned in these last two slots, what would you put it for?
See, the thing about the EU bracket right now, in my opinion, is that I feel like there's five teams who could be the dark horse fifth slot.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And like you mentioned three that all deserve top five, mm-hmm. but there's only two slots left, right? And
And keep in mind, it seems like every one of these players is in our chat right now, and I don't think they don't like some of my placings already. So
No. They're probably not too happy with what we're saying right now.
That's all right.
That's the goal.
Yeah.
I'm looking at my spreadsheet here, cool. And I'm just thinking to myself a little bit. I know myself, there's like multiple teams on this list that I see when I go into a tournament and I'm like, okay, this is going to be a like challenging winner's bracket if we're going to make it there. Like we have to pass through like these teams, like we have to pass through Sephir Red, or we see Germans and we're like, okay, that's going to be a hard battle, right? What was the third team you mentioned for the top three?
I mean, Jurmans and PogChamp, I think, are the two that are really are showcasing.
Yeah.
I was thinking Zephir Red as well, but as well, I think I've been outvoted a little bit.
Personally, I do believe that PogChamps could be the fourth slot here. Simply because of how good like some of their players have been mechanically. They are less flexible than other teams. And like that can definitely hurt them. However, they have players that are mechanically cracked, right? And regardless of the meta, if they pick up more strats,
okay, I like it. Yeah, I think PogChamp's a good vouch. Excellent. Yeah. Or Chris, do either of you have any qualms with that? Do you think that is correct, or would you rather have Jurmans at four?
I would put Jurmans at four.
You'd
just because they have more team comms.
Okay.
And I think they can be more consistent. It's just like, again, I just base it on flexibility of these teams. Maybe PogChamps is hiding something. You know, maybe they're practicing with things that we don't know about, of course. But I think besides that, I think Jurmans fourth and then PogChamp fifth for me.
Okay.
If we were to go have a tourney today,
mm-hmm.
I think the Germans definitely probably have the upper hand.
Okay.
Like if we tourney is tomorrow or today, Germans probably have the upper hand for fourth slot here, simply because they are already that flexible and the meta has been shaken up quite a bit the last couple of weeks, to the point where I think they have adapted much more quickly. But I do think that with the time PogChamp has, they're more likely to be a contender coming into the next, which is kind of why I was putting them there, because they actually still have time.
I got you. Okay, yeah, they have time to lab it out, figure out what they want to play. Maybe Sly, maybe Yoshi won't play Decidueye. Who knows? excellent. How about you? Who do you think deserves this four slot? Is it Jurmans or is it PogChamp?
I'll give it to PogChamps.
Okay, interesting. Okay, so we have two votes for PogChamp, one vote for Jurmans. I am tempted to put Jurmans in this spot, but excellent. Talk to me why you want PogChamp there.
I want PogChamps there because I think that they've been able to show that they can consistently get to that position in a tournament. Jurmans have been more experimental in some of their approaches, and that has yielded them both really good and unfortunate results.
Okay.
And I think that consistency will be very important. Now, I also think that, like, from experience talking with the people, that Jurmans is one of the hardest working teams. Like, they will take the time out of their days to make sure that they need to, like, they at least know what they're going into. So I'm, like, as a close friend of theirs too, hoping that they'll put that in so that they can take that through the tournament.
Sure.
I think that PogChamps have it a little bit more inherently.
Okay. You think they have a little bit more inherent skill to bring them over the top? Okay, well, we are at a tie, an impasse, as it were. I mean, I was thinking Jurmans at four, mostly because I really think Absol is in a sick place, and I know that Nazu plays a bunch of Absol right now, and so that was kind of exciting to me. But I think we have to bring this down to the almighty coin. So I have a die, a six-sided dice here. I'm going to be rolling, technically off-screen, but whatever. And I am going to say evens, Jurmans get four, odds, PogChamp gets four. It is odd, so
I'm going to say is PogChamp lost yesterday to Jurmans.
Oh.
That's all I'm going to say.
All right, well.
I mean, that's the decider.
Yeah,
I think that's the tiebreaker.
That's the decider.
Dead,
that's fine then, yep. Ignore the coin. All right, sounds good. So this is our current EU power ranking. So thank you so much for going through that with me, guys. I think this is a pretty good list. Not a lot of surprises. I think 5i outpacing Yermans and PogChamp. If you showed this list to someone at the start of UCS, it would definitely be a surprise overall, I think. But let's take a look at our groups as we're moving on to our next segment of the show. I apologize to the stream. It is jank as all hell, but we'll get through it. So we have four groups, of course, but this time they are groups of six, so much bigger groups in the regionals over AOS Cup what they were previously. I believe it's still just two seeds make it out of each group, unless anyone knows any different.
Really?
I think it is.
Is it the best of eight afterwards? Oh, not best of eight, eight teams after double elimination.
Yeah. So it goes to eight teams again. So it's still just top two seeds. So a lot more group play games, but still leading into an eight-team bracket. Group A, I think we can all pretty much confirm that Random Gaming is going to be one of our seeds making it out. Who else do you think in Group A will punch their ticket to the top eight bracket? NNO, I believe, is Tansy's new squad that he is playing with. So definitely a contender in that way. But guys, Tilted Gaming, the last seed in this group, absolutely had a pop-off tournament just yesterday, a week before. They got all the way up to second place, got a reset against Random Gaming. Definitely were showcasing. But Zen, you were saying that Tilted actually was playing with a few players that won't be playing in UCS.
That is what I have heard, yes.
Okay.
And I haven't been able to confirm this yet. I think we do have Yuta in chat, maybe? Mega, at least? Mega? Could you, yeah, Mega, okay, Blaine is saying Mega is too small to play, which okay. doesn't confirm that, what I thought that.
Got you.
And then we have Don, who was not from an eligible country, if I remember correctly.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So there will be two players substituted from the team. However, that does leave Yuta.
Okay,
and
who is correct?
Yuta kind of came out yesterday with, like, no, like, bars hold. Like,
gotcha.
he went crazy yesterday, right?
Mm-hmm. And she popped off, yeah.
He popped off hard. And
one more, like, note, sorry to cut you off, the two. Blaine's telling me in chat that this is their list that they made, so it might not mm-hmm. be completely correct. This is just their point structure. So this is a little bit of a hypothetical situation, but at the very least, we know that the top three of each of these groups will probably be 100% correct. After that, mm-hmm. things might get a little wishy-washy. But anyway, continue.
That does change. So what were you asking about? So you were basically just asking about Tilted Gaming and their roster. So we have Hirai playing one of the slots, and I'm not sure how it works with the Don potentially as well.
Okay, gotcha. Well,
he might get subbed as well. But like I said, they have Yuta. Mm-hmm. They could definitely pull a win here.
That is true.
Depending on the group they end up in.
Yeah, I think if they're in Group A, though, it's going to be a tough slug. I mean, pretty much one of those seeds is already locked up, but it could happen. Chris, mm-hmm. if you were familiar with any of these teams, who do you think is the other seed to get out of Group A?
I mean, I guess I'm not too familiar with some of these teams. Mm-hmm. I see Ram Cosmos popping up somewhere here and there.
Yeah,
but
they've had some good tournaments placements. Never, like, top one or two, mm-hmm, but I think they've had some top fours. Like, they've had some good
ones. So, I mean, depends on the Tilted Gaming roster, I guess, and obviously NNO, but I'm not really sure what the entire roster is going to look like. But obviously, if the old, five guys and with some other players together, obviously always be contender for mm-hmm. making it out of the groups, especially against the teams that I'm seeing there.
Sure.
Defend, I'm not too familiar with either. Not really quite sure.
Yeah, I do.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not as aware, but okay. So I think our vote would be your votes either towards NNO or Tilted. Excellent. How about you? Any predictions on Group A?
I'm personally thinking that Random Gaming and Tilted Gaming will be making it out.
God, I love that.
I'm sure that even with the substitutions that they might have to make after yesterday's performance and what we've seen from the players that are staying, that should be doable. Mm. If the groups ends up being different, or if Tilted Gaming doesn't have the same performance with the substitutions, I'll give it to Deviant. I still think it's Tilted, but Deviant has Karakuzoro and Traffy, which, in my opinion, is also a really good duo.
Cool. Okay, interesting. Yeah, Group A definitely seems like an interesting group. I mean, we have one lockup, but yeah, a couple of teams contending for that other second seed. That'll be interesting. Zen, talk to me about Group B. So, Unleashed, Zephyred, Fluffy, Flip, Jigglypuff, Puff, and Recreativo Thunder. Recreativo is the all-Spain team? Is that right?
I think so, yes. They are a team that plays in every tournament.
Yes, they are grinders.
They are grinders, right? Every time I sign up for an EU tournament, like Recreativo Thunder will probably be there. I think their roster has been fairly consistent. Then we have Jigglypuff Puff, which is relatively newly branded, right?
I think they were in May, but I don't know if what their
it's
name
like,
was before.
Compared to some of these names, they are
newer.
I'm not familiar with them, or at least not that familiar. Sephir Red is an old
They have Novorix, the second best sword in EU, because you get number one. don't worry, I'll give that to you.
So like Sephir Red is another one of those teams that play in a lot of tournaments. Like you go into a tournament, you see Sephir, you're like, is it white? No, it's red. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think white exists.
This is gonna be hard.
Are your two picks for this group gonna be just Unleashed?
It's going to be
though?
Unleashed.
Yeah.
I think so. I am not that familiar with all of these teams.
Okay.
I think I would give this group to Unleashed and Red. Like Unleashed is basically guaranteed, much like random in my opinion.
Yeah.
Which leaves one team to get the second slot. Yeah. So that would I would probably put Red over Recreativo.
Okay. Got it.
And
actually, as a question posed to Mike and Chris, I'm looking at all these groups and how they're formatted. Do you guys think that we're just looking at, like, for the group B, C, and D, just the top two seeds are the ones that make it out of each group? Like, from what I'm looking at, that's what it looks like it's going to pan out to be.
Kinda, yeah.
For me, yes. There,
yeah, so that actually ties into what I was saying earlier as well. There's a lot of teams here that consistently pulls, like, games of people.
Mm-hmm, sure.
And if you pull a game of a person or a team, it's not an impossibility to pull a set. Like, you go into brackets, like, you could see fifth, like, you could see Squishy Squad, you could see Recreativo, I could see any of them, or Tilted Gaming. Like, they could pull a game in their respective, like,
for sure,
brackets, right? Of someone who's predicted to get out. And that's kind of what I meant. Like, there are so many EU teams deserving of the fifth spot.
Right.
Because it gets kind of blurry around there.
I got you.
There's a lot of solid teams that are, like, almost up there.
Yeah. I 100% agree. Chris, how about you? For group B, C, and D, like I was mentioning, do you think it's just those top two seeds overall?
Yeah, I think so. Maybe if I would look more at the rosters of every of these teams, maybe there's something that were like, oh, maybe they could win the group as well or be second place. But besides that, I mean, five IUMNs have been consistent, the top four teams, PogChamp, DZ as well, has been playing pretty good in almost every tournament, always having like a decent finish. So, like, as long as nothing goes super wrong, I don't see the other teams having a chance against those teams.
Sure. Okay. I mean, Yoshi's
unless
saying
they come
that
out with a new threat that just conquers Europe, you know?
That is true. Yeah. That is true. Europe
you never
is
know.
Right for the taking. Fair enough.
Exactly.
Excellent. Any thoughts about, like, any groups that you think will have any major shakeups?
About the actual groups, not in particular. I think the main thing that I think is super interesting about the group stage is how little the previous championship points has of an influence on the bracket afterwards. So how it works is that the seeding for the double elimination afterwards is going to be dependent on your set record, first and foremost, in the group stage, secondarily by your individual game record, and third by championship points. So what we'll see is probably some very potentially deadly the first sets in the double elimination,
right?
And that's going to be very interesting to see how people will end up then.
Yeah,
because losing any game to any team can be detrimental to your potential seeding afterwards.
Oh, absolutely. You gotta win out your group stage if you want any kind of decent amount of seeding when it actually comes to bracket play. But very cool. I think we will close up on the group stage predictions like that. I'll bring us back up. And just I want to enter just a last little bit of questions, maybe some, you know, more rapid fire style of things. Guys, who's your pick to win the entire tournament? Is it just Random Gaming across the board? Is there anyone who thinks that Random Gaming, are you bold enough to predict anyone outside of them?
No, fair enough.
Well, fair enough. Then Chris,
that's the best EU player.
There you go. Well, actually, that was my next question. If Random wins the whole thing, then do you think that Gatlu will have the MVP?
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. Chris, who would be your MVP on Random Gaming if they win this tournament?
I mean, I think Gatlu or Redmo, honestly. I think Redmo is also someone that has a huge character pool. And there's Lucario with the Bone Rush, not Bone Rush, Power Punch, Close Combat as well again, you know. Coming up with a new build with the Energy Amp as well, the X Attack, and just going for these last hits and objectives, and he just does it so consistently as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, coming up with something new. I don't know if it was his idea or his team's idea, but he's very flexible as well. He's a very good Serena, has a good Machamp as well. Like, he just plays all the top lane characters as well, you know.
Yeah, he has a good feeling out.
I think he's always very consistent. Besides that, of course, Gatlu, though, is obviously, of course, the holding point of this team. Otherwise, obviously, Bruff, I think, is one of the best players as well, but he's stuck on Blissey duty, so I can't really see him doing too much. But he's always 3 levels up on the other Blissey every single game, so there's also something there.
Yeah. In the end. That is true. You have to give
Bruff
credit where it
has
due.
Always been a crazy shot caller, right?
Mm-hmm.
But he doesn't have to focus on that the same extent anymore with Gatlu on his team, since Gatlu does a lot of the shot calling during the games, which is the main reason I'm kind of giving Gatlu the MVP as well. Like, the fact that he is such a cornerstone of the game's in-game communication.
Oh. Hmm. Okay.
Yeah. And like the way he approaches like late game and the little shuffle between the teams until you figure out if we're doing Zapdos at all or what's going on.
I love that. Okay, that's a great MVP. Excellent. Do you have an MVP of your tournament winner?
I would go with Gatlu, absolutely.
Okay, interesting.
Respect to Bruv, always been playing against Bruv. I would say there's two defender players I've ever had at 0.25 speed looking at what they're doing, and that's Sogrok and Bruv. I think Gatlu is going to be taking it.
Okay, awesome.
I don't play him.
That's a really good one. Well, I feel like that last question was a bit of a layup, a pretty easy one. Then this one I gotta give is gonna be, let's actually jump for this question. Who's gonna get the second spot? Who is the other team representing EU at the Worlds competition in London? This one might be a bit tougher. My answer, I will start, I feel like I haven't answered as much on this show, is going to be Apprentice Unleashed. They're my boys. I love that team. Heck, they could win this whole thing. They're winning the tournament. Random Gaming's going down. Someone else should answer this question, though. Chris, who is your second place for this tournament?
Yeah, I mean, for sure, Unleashed, but again, like, I think it's four teams, obviously, that are, like, in high contention, or even five teams. For the second spot, I think it just comes down to who has the better performance on the day, and who actually reads the meta the best.
Mm-hmm.
I think all those teams can make it. But, of course, Unleashed, I mean, they've been out second place for the last two or three tournaments.
Yeah.
Obviously, they always fall down to Random Gaming. And even in earlier tournaments as well, like, I think it was February or March, where they just struggled, but they always got double beaten down by Random Gaming.
They got bracket cursed.
It was just unfortunate
sure.
to see. They just, like, the bracket was kind of weird, and they just lose winner bracket to Random Gaming, loser bracket to Random Gaming, and went off the tournaments. They didn't make, never made top four or five, so... Yeah. Yeah, I mean, besides that, they're very consistent and for sure looking the best into this tournament.
Criminal activity right there. Faye, how about you?
Could I rephrase the question?
Who do you think is number two? Who do you think is the other team representing EU at Worlds?
No, it's Unleashed.
All right,
for
there
me.
We go.
It's got to be. Like I said earlier, Chris was a bit more Random Gaming as leagues apart from the others. I'm a bit more like Unleashed has a more like a higher position for me.
Okay.
In terms of like relative to the rest of the EU scene, I feel like Random Gaming and Unleashed both have a slightly elevated position.
Okay. All right. Yeah, I think that's completely fair. I agree. I have a lot of respect for both of those teams. Yes, all five in our power rankings, though, are very, very good squads. So don't worry. There's going to be contention.
Yeah.
Going to be an exciting tournament. Excellent, though. Answer this question. Who's that number two spot?
I'll say Unleashed.
All right. Okay. Well, absolutely. Maybe with our how much I've tried to talk up how competitive the scene is, we all get the same answers. Maybe that's a little telling, I guess. But oh well. But either way, I think that will bring us to the close of our show. So thank you so much for joining me, you guys. Thank you so much, everyone, for hanging out in Twitch chat. Before we close up everything, I want to make sure I give each of you a chance to plug all your stuff, your socials, where can people find you, all that good stuff. So Chris, why don't you kick us off, plug all your stuff.
Yeah, sure. So you can find me on Twitch, obviously, Chris Heroes, on YouTube, Chris Heroes, and on Twitter as well, Chris Heroes. Always post some clips there as well, and always be up to date for when my content goes live. And yeah, that's about it. I also have a casting channel, actually. It's called Chris Cast Pokemon Unite Esports, where I upload all the VODs of all my casting towards. Cool. And if you want to watch some, rewatch some VODs, or rewatch some tournament games, then you can watch, check out that YouTube channel as well.
Awesome. There you go. Excellent. How about you?
You can find me at Excellent on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Metafy, and you'll mainly be finding me doing different variety Pokemon stuff, Unite, Pocket Crystal League, or Emerald Kaizo lately, Impossible Challenges.
Yes, yeah, you've gotten me hooked on Crystal League a little bit. Game's a good time. Faye, how about you?
All right, well, like I said earlier, I stream on Twitch almost every day under twitch.tv/Zantisane. It's my username and it's also my in-game name, right? I have the same name on Twitch. I don't really use YouTube yet. However, I've considered uploading a couple of videos there now.
Cool.
So that's something to look forward to potentially. I would like to thank my lovely mod Boxy for showing up every single day and just being an amazing pillar of the community. And a manager for many streams.
Yes. Yeah, Boxy she owns. If you've watched any Unite stream ever, you know who Boxy is. So MVP mod for sure. Awesome. Well, just a quick little bit of Unite Mike's plugs, things like that. You can find all of these episodes of Overdunk uploaded onto the YouTube for the actual video. You can watch the live stream recordings here on Twitch at twitch.tv/UniteMikes. Same for the YouTube URL. And the show's also uploaded on podcast form. So if you are already listening there on Spotify, Apple, Google, anything like that, make sure to rate 5 stars. Helps more people find the show, more people find the scene of competitive Pokemon Unite, and that's what we all want. So thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you to the three of you for joining me on this show. It was so, so fun. I'm so excited. This is going to be the best tournament that EU has had so far. I have prize pool, big worlds invites at stake, and of course, the pride of being number one in EU is definitely in contention. So, so excited for this tournament, but they have been Chris, Excellent, and Faye. I have been Zoinks. This has been Overdunk. Thank you so much for hanging out, and we'll see you all next time.